I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Well, it is a delight and a privilege to be here with you all in person. There's been so little of this over the last year and a half, and I kind of apologize for shutting everything down again for another 4 weeks. It is the right thing to do. We're very convinced of love, but it always feels horrible every time we do it. And so I feel badly, but I think it's the right thing. But we do get one more quick kick at the can here before we go online. And so here we are together, and even if we can't sing belting it out, isn't it so nice to even just be able to hum along together with these beautiful songs and hymns? Well, we have spent a year and a half walking on a strange path, have we not? It's been a very strange path, and I think probably the older we are, the stranger it is, because some of us have gone through quite a few years not having to do this kind of stuff, ever. In fact, never even thinking we'll ever have to do this, and here we are walking on a different pathway. And then one of the things that is, I have one of those personalities where I'm always looking for the silver lining in the dark cloud, you know, the good thing that comes out of the bad thing. And one of the things that I have found is that as much as I would rather not be doing this, there are a lot of things for us to learn about walking this particular journey. It teaches us a lot about ourselves. It teaches us about how we make choices and why we make choices. And it also teaches us something, I think, about our inner impulses and what drives us and how we react to that, how we make choices. And I just want to point that out to start off with, because where I'm going to launch from is today's gospel reading. We had, and I hope you're listening carefully, today's gospel reading, it has a story of Jesus and his disciples are on the road towards Capernaum. And when they get there, Jesus says to them, "What were you talking about on the road?" And actually, in Greek, which is this originally written, the word road and the word way are the same word, hados. And so there are some translations which will actually read, "What were you talking about along the way?" And it's actually the same word that Luke uses in the Acts of the Apostles when he refers to the Christian faith and the Christian belief as the way, hados, the road, the way, the journey. And in the gospel reading today, we have this most interesting and richly ironic story, because it's in two parts. Sorry, there's a step here I just about went over. That would not have been the way. One does have to walk on the way and watch where one is walking. But it's deeply ironic, because what does Jesus say? It says that Jesus is talking to them about how the Son of Man must be arrested and badly treated and die. And meanwhile, what are they talking about on the way that they admit? Who's the greatest? I mean, just think about the irony for a moment. They're busy talking about, well, who's the greatest, you think? And he's talking about, yeah, I'm going to die. He's their Lord, he's their leader, he's going to death, he knows it, and he's walking that path, and meanwhile, they're talking about who's the greatest. Well, one of the great things about reading about the goofiness of the disciples and some of their dumb things that they say and do, is that we get to read it from hindsight. And sometimes we can say, gosh, how did they get it wrong? But if we're really wise, we might actually ask the question, huh, I wonder what I do that's just as dumb, that's just as silly, that just misses the point. Walking along the way with Jesus talking about his service of love to humanity, giving his life, well, they talk about who's the greatest. The readings that we've had today all speak about the same thing. I'm not going to touch much on the first one, the OCD description of what women are, what makes for a noble wife. I used to think this was a great, you know, great thing about talking about how wonderful he's talking about how great his wife is. But then if you stop to think, it starts off with a good wife who can find, which I think is a little offensive, but, you know, it is in the scriptures, right? So it's, I don't know, maybe it's meant as a challenge. But it is one example, and I say I'm not going to talk about it because that I feel like I would just get in trouble. I think somebody else should talk about that. I'm not going to talk about that. But the psalm, Psalm number one, the very first psalm in the psalm book, says what? Blessed is the one who walks in the way of righteousness. Blessed is the one who walks in this way and does not walk in the way of the sinners, but meditates on the law of the Lord. And they're like one, a tree planted by water springs that grows and bears fruit, and not like the wicked who are like chaff that is blown away. Beautiful imagery, isn't it? Beautiful imagery. The tree that is planted and rooted and being fed by the water and bearing fruit because he meditates or she meditates upon the word of God, versus the chaff that is just blown away when things happen in life, when things go wrong, when you're faced with a pandemic, blown away, no foundation, no roots, and no fruit to be born. The way, walking in the way, the choice of how you walk in the way. James talks about the same thing in the letter that we've just heard. If you were listening carefully, it talks about two kinds of wisdom. The wisdom that is earthly, that is devilish and demonic, says James, is the one that is about selfishness and conceit and bitter envy and always looking at what other people got and, you know, keeping up with the Joneses and all that kind of stuff. That is not it. But he says, heavenly wisdom, true wisdom, is that which is peaceable and pure and humble, and it gives us this beautiful list. It's about two kinds of wisdom, but it's about two ways of walking in the world. The one way that is all about how do I get what I want, how do I do what I want, and the other is about how do I do what God wants, which he makes really clear in the second part of that reading where he says, where does this conflict come from? It comes from your cravings inside at war within you, your cravings and your desires, and not from above. And then those amazing words, you don't get things because you don't ask. And when you do ask, you ask wrongly, out of the wrong motives. And therefore you fight about it. Again, it's all about how do you walk in the world? What is it that directs your path? Years ago, we were on a trip in Quebec, and we stopped at a church called St. Anne de Beaupré. I don't know if anybody else has ever been to, yes, there's one or two at St. Anne de Beaupré, and it's a Roman Catholic church, a basilica, one of only five, I guess, in Canada. I didn't know that. I just looked it up. Well, there's only five basilicas designated as shrines in Canada, and the thing that sticks out in my mind always when I think about St. Anne de Beaupré is that it's a classic example of how Christians used to build their churches, well, we still do in a way, but in much more detail, in order to communicate about this very thing about what is the way that you should walk. And this is what you see. If you ever get to visit there, and by the way, it's really hard to find online. I was trying to recheck my memory. It's hard to find. I don't know what Google's thinking. You know, you can find anything on Google except stuff about how to walk in the way of the Lord. Anyways, can't Google that. Doesn't seem to work. But St. Anne de Beaupré, if you come in the back door into the main part of the church, of the basilica, on the floor going up the aisle, now hold on to your hats for a second here, going up the aisle on the floor in mosaic form are pictures representing the seven deadly sins. Yes, the seven deadly sins. And then right up at the cross road here, the cross aisle, there's a picture, I believe, of Christ in judgment. And then off to Christ's right, there is images of being led into paradise, the sheep, and then off to the left are the images of, well, let's just say they're not going to paradise, right? Right. It's, yeah, anyways, graphically. But if you look up as you're coming in, you'll also see up in the roof things that say prudence and charity and the virtues of, that come from God. And the reason that it's laid out this way is that it's meant to remind you that as you come forward, and perhaps even as you come forward towards where the crucifix is, crucified Jesus, and where you're going to receive from the body and blood of Christ and be fed, as you come forward for that, under your feet that you are walking on is the reminder of the things that are going to take you where you shouldn't be going. They're the things that are going to make you stumble. They're the things that are taking you in the wrong way. They're the cravings inside of you that create the conflict and lead you astray. But if you look up, you see Christ, who has offered himself on the cross as the servant of all and the savior of all. And you see above that, coming down, or at least above you, reminding you the virtues that come from God, love and prudence and charity. You walk the way, and visually you're being told, I think you should replace this carpet. I really do. I mean, it's nothing against gray. I have nothing against gray. It's kind of good for dirt. But there's a different kind of dirt that could be more helpful. And that would be the seven deadly sins coming up here. And then you could have, I'm just saying.
We'll get right on that. We've got 4 weeks where no one's
absolutely
here.
Absolutely. Yeah, you could just, yeah. Creative depictions. Although, remember, it's for a family audience, so however you depict them, you should make sure that that's in a way that's, you know, anyways. But if we think about that walk, that's, you know, think about that. Just think about coming to church every Sunday where you're being reminded that as you come to Jesus, as you come to be fed, as you have before you the crucifixion, you're being reminded of not walking in the way of the wicked, but walking in the way of Christ that brings us to the virtue of God's wisdom and God's grace. Walking in the way. Not about asking who's the greatest, but following the example of our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself in self-emptying love for the salvation of the world. And who says, the one who would be greatest must be the servant of all, and humility. Now, there's one other piece that has to go along with this. And that has to do with confirmation, because, and this is really an important piece, because that's a really great reminder that we would have, you know, of that distinction between the two ways. But those of us who have been walking the road for a long time know that if you think you can do this on your own, well, I don't know, have any of you got this right? If you put up your hand, then we'll be asking you to come to confession. No, I'm just kidding. We do have confession later on for those of you. The reality is that this is a hard path. And in fact, we can't do it in our own human strength. And as Christians, we know that we don't have to do it in our own human strength because of two things. And the first is, well, what did Jesus say to the disciples? He was saying, the Son of Man must suffer and die before being raised. Salvation comes by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. That even when we stumble along the way, God, who is forgiving and loving, picks us up when we turn back and turn to him, forgives us and sets us on the path. But even more, we don't even walk alone in the first place. Because what God has done is not only united us to himself in Jesus through our baptism, through the faith that we profess, but God has poured out God's Spirit upon us. The Holy Spirit indwelling our hearts. Not because the Holy Spirit controls us like a puppet master, but because the Holy Spirit is always present, offering us the strength, offering us the wisdom that can teach us the way to walk. And when we are being attentive in our prayers and listening, when we are allowing the Spirit of God to direct us, to teach us, to lead us, then we are being planted in the soil by the stream. That's the living water of God, the Holy Spirit, and we begin to bear fruit. And we have roots in our foundation in Jesus Christ, by which we can stand firm as God grows in us the fruit of the Spirit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and generosity and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. The virtues, the fruit of God's Spirit, the fruit of love and prudence are being grown in us by the power of God's Spirit as we surrender ourselves. As we surrender ourselves in imitation of the Lord who we follow, who gave himself up in love for the salvation of the world. And today, all who are being confirmed are doing two things. One is to reaffirm, to renew their commitment and their faith in Jesus Christ. And the second is to receive prayers by which we pray the strengthening and the power of the Spirit upon them that they may walk in this life, walk in the way of Jesus, walk in the way of faith, walk in the way of righteousness. And power, of course, also, to not only walk in that way, but to live their lives in such a way that others see and are called back and called into that faith in Jesus Christ, called to do the mission and the work that God is giving us in his church. And so, I pray first for, of course, all of those who are being confirmed, for God's grace to be upon them and to renew in them the Spirit of God in the renewing of their minds, but also for all of us who are here to witness and support and pray for them. Because I think all of us know that even if we were confirmed, there's a process that goes on every single week. Every time we walk up that aisle and we come to receive, it's in a mission that we ourselves also need to be reaffirming every day and being fed every week, every day in the Word of Christ. What does Psalm 1 say? Blessed is the one who doesn't walk in the way of the wicked, but who meditates upon the word of God and keeps it in their heart. The reminder that we too, along with them, renew the covenant that we have was made for us in our baptism and renew the openness of our hearts and minds to the moving and guiding of God's Holy Spirit. Amen.